Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Tom Murray continues our series of lessons on Satan. This series of lessons has revealed to me a lot of things that I didn't know. So much of what we think about Satan is just popular stories and wrong teaching. Tom Murray reveals the truth in today's lesson. Keep listening.
Well, I welcome you back to The Lay Disciple. If you remember, we're studying the general activity of demons, and we've covered two of the general activities, and the third one we'll pick up beginning in this broadcast, and that is that demons are in fact used by God on occasion for the carrying out of His purposes. Satan uses the demons, obviously, but you must remember that Satan and his demons must submit to the sovereignty of God, because while they are powerful angelic beings, fallen and demonic, but they also are subjects in that God created them. And God, while they rebel against Him, they have to yield to His sovereignty. So every activity that Satan and his demons do has to occur within the permissive will of God. And at times in biblical history, we find that God actually uses demons to carry out His purpose in the history of the world and in fulfilling His plan and His desires on the earth. I'd like to show you several examples of that. The first example you can find in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 16 and verse 14. It said, "Now the Spirit of Jehovah departed from King Saul, and an evil spirit from Jehovah troubled him," or troubled King Saul. What we learn in this verse is that God commanded an evil spirit to come to King Saul in order to torment him as a punishment for his very active and very deliberate disobedience of God when God had told him not to consort with the witches, and he had gone and visited with the witch of Endor. Also, Saul had not served God and stayed in relationship with him, and as a result, God, it says, an evil spirit from Jehovah, meaning that God directed and the evil spirit obeyed him. Now, there's a second example of God using demons to carry out His own purposes in 1 Kings 22:19-23. In this particular passage, God uses a lying demon to move King Ahab, the king of Israel in the north at that time, into a war that's going to actually cost Ahab his life. You should read that story and you'd find that in the context, Ahab had already decided to enter into the war against Syria, and all that he was really seeking was a support for the decision that he had already made, and he was looking for that from God. Now, as you might know about Israel, the northern kingdom at the time that Ahab was the king, is that his wicked wife Jezebel had gotten him involved in the worship of a false idol or a pagan idol called Baal, and Ahab had brought 400 false prophets of Baal into the land of Israel in the north and had built a temple for Baal and was supporting those 400 false prophets with the taxes that he exacted from the northern tribe Jewish people. But God used a demon here to prophesy and to give lies to King Ahab in order that God's purpose might be carried out, and that was that Ahab would go into this battle with Syria and Ahab would be killed. So in this case, you can see that God was using a demon to actually carry out His own plans. Now, God had already prophesied that Ahab would be killed by his prophet at that time, Elijah, and God had clearly given the message that Ahab's days were over. But he hadn't explained the means that he would use to bring Ahab to his final demise. But now we learn in this passage in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19, is that the means God would use was to send Ahab a lying spirit that would tell him, yes, it's right for you to go into this war with Syria, and you will do well, when in reality he would lose his life. Now, sometimes God, through his permissive will use a demon to bring proper knowledge and humility to a believer. Now, we saw the case in King Ahab's life when he used a demon to bring a lying spirit to King Ahab, but sometimes he will use a demon even to bring proper knowledge and humility. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, we read this, "And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should be exalted over much," the Apostle Paul said, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted over much." Now, in this passage, the Apostle Paul speaks of a messenger from Satan. That would have to be a demon. The word messenger refers to angel, and a demon is a fallen angel. And this particular fallen angel, or messenger of Satan, or demon, was sent by Satan, allowed by God, for the purpose of buffeting Paul. Now, many people have wondered what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, and I've heard a lot of people conjecture that it was some eye malady, or that it was some other deformity or sickness. But I think the scriptures are very clear what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. He said that his thorn in the flesh was a messenger from Satan. It wasn't a sickness. It was a major demon that Satan had assigned to Paul. And he made life miserable for Paul everywhere he went, every minute of every day. That's why Paul was constantly in danger, shipwrecked 3 times, beaten with the rods, beaten with the cat of nine tails. He was plotted against, and all kinds of murderous plots were made. He was stoned and left for dead, because everywhere he went, this major demon followed him and stirred up opposition by the people against him. Now, Paul certainly paid physically for the activity of this demon. But the reason God permitted this demon, Paul clearly says in this passage, is so that he would not become exalted or become proud and egotistical because of the exceeding greatness of the revelations that God was revealing to Paul. Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books of your New Testament, and he was given tremendous revelation, tremendous power, and tremendous influence in spreading the gospel. But that could lead to pride, and so God allowed that demon that Satan had sent to keep Paul humble and to keep Paul totally dependent upon the Lord. So because of the abundance of all these special revelations given to him, there was always the danger that Paul would become filled with pride. So that Paul might be kept humble, God allowed this messenger to be sent by Satan, this demon, to buffet him by causing some physical either infirmity or some physical condition, but basically just to torment him. So this is another case where God at times will allow demons in the lives of believers for the purpose of conforming the believer to the image of his own Son. Now you'll remember that Paul prayed 3 times that this demon or this affliction might be removed from him, but God's answer to Paul was that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul then learned that that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Paul also said, I have learned, because of what he went through as a result of this demonic activity, Paul said, I have learned that in whatever state I am, therein to be content. And Paul learned that God allowed this in his life to keep him from pride, and also to teach him that God was able to get the glory when Paul was always staying humble. Now, that's the general activity of demons, and now I think we should move to some of their more particular, specific activities. And there are six specific or particular activities of demons, so that you can understand the real darkness of demonism. First of all, demons are related to the control of nations. I have shown you in earlier broadcast, using passages like Daniel 10:10-14, how one of the chief demons was known as the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and that he was able to hold a good angel captive for 21 days who was on his way to talk to Daniel. But the fact that this demon was known as the prince of the kingdom of Persia also shows you that demons are related to the control of nations. Now, later in Daniel chapter 10, verses 20-21, Daniel says, Then said he, Knowest thou whereof I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I go forth, lo, the prince of Greece will come. But I tell thee, that which is inscribed in the writing of truth, and there is none that holdeth with against thee but Michael your prince. So again, in this passage, there is the mention now of the prince of Persia, but now the addition of the prince of Greece, both of whom are working against Daniel, one of God's choicest prophets, and who are one of both of these are key demons, and they are related to the control of nations on the earth under Satan's control. So as you look through history, you should not be surprised at how evil some nations can be in light of the fact that the teaching of Scripture is clear that demons are related to the control of nations and what those various nations do. Now, we're about out of time in this broadcast, but I do want to tell you that the second specific activity of demons is that they can inflict physical maladies on people, and we'll be looking at that in our next broadcast. I want you to be totally familiar with these fallen angels, but never forget, if you're a Christian, greater is he that lives in you than he that is in the world.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, friend, for listening. I'd like to encourage you to visit our brand new website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for our free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. If you have friends in other cities or countries, they can now hear the programs too. Make sure to give them our web address. If you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, call us at 901-685-3385. That's 901-685-3385, and outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. And we'll see you here tomorrow for The Lay Disciple.